Yeah, it's 101.5, Light FM, South Florida's number one listen while you work and while you play station. With the greatest hits of the 70s on the Spirit of 76 weekend. It's brought to you by Spirit Airlines. Catch the spirit of Spirit Airlines. Good evening, I'm David Cassidy, along with Light FM's high priestess of the nighttime, the lovely Kimba.
That was quite the delivery.
Thank you. You know, I listened to all those DJs in the 70s, and I'll tell you something, Kimba. It's completely distorted my whole sense of reality. I don't know who I am.
I think sitting right here across from you has distorted my sense of reality.
Wow. Well, it's nice to see you. Yeah.
It's nice to see you.
Thank you.
I will. I'm sure all of the ladies earlier this evening have a David Cassidy story.
Well, they told me. Well, I'll just say yes. They had a story. Some of them were a little twisted.
I'm not surprised. Yes,
no,
Susan.
No, actually, Susan was good.
Yeah,
I gotta say.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, she went on and on a little bit. She started talking about at night when she would go to sleep, looking at my poster, and I was like, "Oh no, don't go there, Susan." Yeah, and then I started thinking, what would it be like when you took off? Never mind.
That's, you know, fast forward to now, yeah. 2003, and last night I was thinking about how I was going to be able to be sitting here and talking to you and wonder what we were talking about, and so I kind of fell asleep with you on my mind, and then this morning...
Yes.
I woke up and I was in love. At least I think I love you.
That's good. Good, Kimba. You went there.
I did go there.
I woke up in love this morning, baby.
I did have some, I had David Cassidy stationary, but now I'm glad to have David Cassidy moving a little
Thank
bit.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you so much.
He's not quite as stationary. I'm having fun with homonyms now.
You know, this is getting far too deep for me, Kimba.
I know it
I'm
is.
Like, I don't know how to react. I don't know how to be. I'm not sure except to say it's really nice to hear that. When people come up and they are that straight and they can be that, I don't mean straight in a gender sense. What I meant was be honest. You know, I don't care if you're gay, but just be honest.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No, there certainly isn't.
But I know you have been touring around and I know that... let's see, your next date would be July 11th. But I know that last week or 2 weeks ago, you had a date in California, and the very next night there was a date in New Jersey. And I'm thinking, that is some serious crisscross of country.
Well, I started here in Fort Lauderdale, and then I flew to San Diego, and I played the Del Mar Racetrack. I played Gulfstream here a couple months ago.
Right.
I played Del Mar Racetrack. Then I took a red eye. I went directly from the gig to the airport, carry on, of course, flew back to New Jersey on the red eye, did a show that night, and then flew to Michigan. So, and then I flew back here. So, yeah, I spend weekends basically doing nothing but losing sleep. And I mean, it's a wonderful thing to go out and play, and it really is the thing that keeps me, you know, keeps me doing what I do is I love to entertain people. I love to celebrate with them.
Well, and I think the question on every, at least female listener's mind at this point, and especially with me sitting as close to you as I am, David
yes.
Cassidy, how do you keep your skin moist in those dry cabin conditions?
I put a lot of cream on, Kimba. Lots of cream.
I mean, that's some serious traveling. But you can find out more about the tour dates and the Rat Pack that's going to be in December in Connecticut. You know, it's just right up the country.
Right.
At the website, conveniently enough.
Yeah, it's at thedavidcassidy.com. You can do that. We just actually closed about a week ago at the Mohican Sun, where it plays three or four times a year now. Each time it goes up there for 3 weeks. And it's a wonderful thing. It was in Vegas for 3 years. And, you know, I'm a guy who's into the retro thing in a big way. And I think there was for me, growing up as a kid and listening to radio, in those days, AM radio, I'm talking about when I was 9, 10, 11 years old, played Bobby Darin, Frank Sinatra, and then later when I was a teenager, like, you know, Beatles, Stones, Tony Bennett. All of that music was available, as well as, you know, Beach Boys and Motown and everything through the 60s. But that great big band kind of music, that swing music, Sinatra and Sammy Davis and all that. I wrote a play with my good friend Don Rio, and we produced it, and it was a big hit in Vegas for 3 years, called The Rat Pack Is Back, and now it tours all over the country.
And you also, speaking of country, had the biggest fan club membership in the country.
Yeah.
Largest. Yeah. Hugest. And, you know, you could still be in the fan club.
Well, you know, you could be. If you wanted to still be in the fan club, you can still be a part of my fan club. I never actually tried to... I never tried to cultivate fan club. I think it happened as a result of being...
I know what it happened as a result of. No, I've seen the pictures.
Uh-huh. Well, you're not alone.
I've heard the stories.
Yes, I've heard the stories too, Kimba. You are the absolute goddess of the night, are you not?
Sure, okay. If you say so, then it is so. I'm going to go with that.
You know, I honestly, since technology has allowed us all to communicate through websites and through all of what we now use and is part of our daily life. In the old days, I never had it. You know, I never did anything to cultivate fan clubs. I was just pleased that people cared enough and wanted to connect enough, wanted to read about me and know about me. Now I think it's become a really very, very important tool for all of us. But yeah, you can go onto my website and find out where I'm playing and what I'm doing. And, you know, I'm also able to get, you know, messages from people. And it really get, before I went out on tour about, you know, when I closed in Vegas, I actually put it up on the website and said, tell me what you want me to play. This is going to be my first concert tour in 10 years. So tell me what you guys want me to play.
Mm-hmm.
And both male and females. And it's interesting. Now, the perception is always, well, there are all these screaming girls or screaming women and all that. And that it's not that it doesn't exist, but there are a lot of guys out there that kind of came out of the closet that said, you know, I was a really big Partridge Family fan. And a lot of very good musicians have said to me, you know, you inspired me to go out and work and get a guitar and or play piano and become a musician. And that means a lot to me as well.
Sure. I mean, the screaming girls have its advantages, but to be considered a true artist, certainly.
Yeah. And well, you know, it's...
I get that.
Yeah. But when you're, you know, 19, 20, 21 years old, that's what it's going to be. And, you know, I think in order to survive, you have to have something that goes beyond having, you know, that splash of fame. And ultimately, it's about what the work is. It's what your work... What is your work? Well, what I do is I'm not famous. I'm this. I'm an actor. I'm a writer. I'm a producer. I'm a singer. You know, this is what I do, and this is what I love to do. If I'm famous, great. If I'm not, this is still what I love to do. And fortunately for me, it's been 35 years almost now.
3-5 years?
35. Yeah,
man.
Let's see. It's 2003. Yeah. I started in 1968 when I was 18.
Wow.
Yeah, 35 years. It's, you know, as many people who have been successful through 3 decades, your career never is always ascending. You have to accept the fact that there are going to be some serious valleys that you got to get through.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, I think I have a different valleys, but that's all right. I don't know. I'm acting like I can relate, but you know.
No, I'm sure. Okay. I'm sure you can
on a certain level. Sure.
Yeah, no, of course
all
you
right.
can.
Yeah.
It's a different career.
Well,
that's all.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Different bank account.
Yeah.
Too.
It's all that stuff.
So I guess we can to paraphrase a CD title, or actually out route steal it. Then and now, we have David now, mm-hmm. but we're going to still get to some of your then.
Okay, we can do some of the old stuff.
Spirit well, why not? Of 76 weekend.
Exactly. Let's celebrate the 70s.
Well. Get back into it momentarily. That's David Cassidy you're hearing, and he's sitting close to me. So mm-hmm. may I just say, na 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 na.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Sing it, Sean.
Sing it.
It's singing it, baby. Sing that Hey Dini thing. Come on, Sean. Give it to us. That's my brother singing that. This is David Cassidy at 101.5 Light FM. You're listening to my brother Sean, South Florida's number one Listen While You Work station, with your favorite songs of the 70s, and I'm sure Sean's. On the Spirit of 76 weekend, good evening. I am David Cassidy, and I'm joined again by Light FM's priestess of the night, Kimba. Kimba!
We're actually conjoined. You know, through no through no fault of anything other than the year I was born, through no competitive or favoritism or anything, by the time I came to the age of, you know, gaga gugu,
puberty,
teenage love, yes,
teenage,
Sean, it was all
it
about
was Sean.
It was all about Sean. I had
got
to
go there.
This is embarrassing. I had Sean Cassidy pajamas. They were powder blue, and it had his face on it, and said something to the effect of "I'm dreaming of you tonight," or something.
And you know. I got to tell you that Sean and I, obviously, he's heard that from people, and he was aware of it.
Me specifically? Oh, no. All right, I got excited for a minute.
And Sean and I have discussed the fact that he and I are two surviving people, that we survived the fame and the teen craziness and all of that. And when we appeared on Broadway together in Blood Brothers, one of the reasons that we were able to get through it was that he and I together, because our careers, we never worked together before, and because our careers paralleled one another, his followed mine, and although not as long, and his show wasn't anywhere near as successful as the Partridge Family was, it was still, with that age group, it was still a huge success, and it was still pre having 125,000 channels to choose from. There are three networks, but it's great to know that he and I have been able to survive into being able to recreate ourselves, and that we're still probably now the only guys that were former teen idols that have dolls and still have careers.
It's true. It's absolutely true. And my, what a hearty boy he was.
Yes, he was and is. He's a great guy.
And ever shall be.
And he's a fantastic writer and producer. He's got a show called The Agency, which has been a big hit on CBS for the last couple of years. He's going on to do another television series again. He created American Gothic, mm-hmm. which was on television, and wrote and executive produced that as well. His last acting he did on Broadway in New York with me in 94, which was Blood Brothers. And he has not acted since and doesn't want to act any longer. He's doing really great. And, you know, every time I'm in California, I see he and my other two brothers, Patrick and Ryan as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. See, it's a Cassidy thing. Bo's next.
Yeah, Bo is next. He's here, and he's a groove. Hey, Bo.
Bo,
come on over here for a second. Okay. I'm going to introduce you, ladies and gentlemen, this evening to my 12-year-old son, who is not...
The next in line.
Yeah, he's the next in line, except it's when he graduates from college. He's
Next
in line. It's not like next year on American Idol. No.
Okay.
That ain't happening. But I wonder if maybe you could read one of these things. I wonder if you could read this for me. Do you think you could do that?
Okay. Want to see his chops in radio? Lean into that microphone so we can hear
you. Let's see what kind of chops you got, buddy.
Here's the three-day forecast from 101.5 Void FM and NBC6. Rob, for the overnight hours.
Very, very well done, Bo.
That's
very well
good.
Done.
Very good. You're hired.
You're hired.
I think you just put me out of a job.
You got the gig. You got the gig.
Do you still own the home in South Florida? I
know
you've been here for a while.
No,
so
live
you
here.
Live here, one of your places.
Well, no. In fact, this is our home. Because I travel all over the world,
mm-hmm.
I still do live here, but I just am not here that often. I can live anywhere I want to live now, I guess. It became apparent to me a couple of years ago. We'd bought this house, and we didn't use it except for like on weekends. And I used to love to come down and, you know, maybe 3-4 times a year for the first year or so that we owned it. And because I finished my work in Las Vegas, and it became apparent that I could, you know, I was going on tour, I was doing concerts, I'd go out for a week or so, and I'd come back, and I'd think, you know, I don't really have to be in Las Vegas anymore. I could be anywhere I want to be. So we found a great school for Bo, and he's happy as can be down here. He loves it. And there's no more beautiful place in the world, in my opinion. I think it's paradise. I really do.
Well, as a native Miamian, I thank you for that.
Well, my wife was actually born in Miami Beach and raised and went to Beach High.
See there? So,
see there?
You know, anytime you want the lovely ladies of Light FM to stop by the house,
I'd love
you know,
that.
You, Sue.
Yeah.
Well, I'll hang out.
That'll
sure.
work. That'll
Why
work.
Why not? We'll just chit-chat about the old days.
Yeah. About you fantasizing about Sean and
yeah.
Hey Dini.
That's it. And Walk Away. That was my song. It was a ballad.
Oh, it was?
But anyway.
Okay.
Back to you, though, David Cassidy.
Yes.
I'm just going to mention some facts that you are definitely aware of, but I just want to mention these.
Perhaps.
The world's highest paid solo live performer by the age of 21, although I would assume by today's performer salaries that might have been squat if it was in comparison.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about what stadiums are, if you play a stadium, you bands walk away with $1 million.
Right.
In those days, it was $50,000.
Right. So it's a bit different. So you would
but
we're
like still talking about
today?
1970, 1972, $3-4. You know, $50,000 bought you a lot of
sure.
a lot of juice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Go ahead.
And there was a lot of juice offered for free. same with your 19. Let's move on.
Do you remember that Led Zeppelin song, Squeeze My Lemon?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I won't finish that later.
Yeah, no, you can finish it later.
Okay. Your 72 Rolling Stone cover, then considered very provocative. Mm-hmm. If you look at some of the covers of magazines today,
that's all they are. Well, no, it's still provocative, I would have to say. But
yours came across more, I would think, if you compared them to today, yours would be considered more
arts. Yeah,
photography than just
Annie Leibovitz.
Here's my body parts.
No, exactly. It's now it's all about glossy celebrities naked. Yeah, it was shocking then. You're absolutely right. Yeah.
Exactly. And then, just to go down to the amazing, astounding, according to the people standing on the outside, life that you've had.
Mm.
The son, you're born into an acting family. Then you're a rock star and a TV star, both to mammoth proportions few have known. You mm-hmm. write a book about your life, have a TV movie about your life, a lifelong career making records, Grammy nods, Emmy nods. Then you go to Broadway. That's all successful. You know, the Blood Brothers with Sean Heavysigh. Many of these, you had some hand in writing, directing, producing, if not all three. Mm-hmm. Then you move on to the horse racing. You get into the horse
breeding.
I'm
a breeding and racing horses.
All of this that I just mentioned. Oh, I should throw in the, I know it was mentioned earlier, but the TV Land Award. That was most recent. But
that was kind of cool,
all
I got to tell
this,
you. Mm-hmm.
You're just uber successful at all of these things, mm-hmm. and most people would be lucky to be successful at one or two of these things in their lifetime. How are you not completely over the top, out of your head, arrogant? How do you not just walk around and go, yeah, that's me?
I'm actually the antithesis of that. I
know, but how?
I don't think I've done enough.
Wow.
Yeah, I really don't. I always feel like I haven't really made it. And believe me, I'm telling you the truth. I'm not just saying that. And you know, my son thinks I've made it, and that's important to me. But, you know, I think it really basically comes down to characters, what you are and who you are. It's not how much money you make. It's not how famous you are. It's who you are and what you have in your life. And I think essentially that's all we are. I mean, everybody has to stand naked. As Bob Dylan once said, even the president of the United States has to stand naked.
That's right.
And, you know, all that other crap is just crap. And, you know, it's great to be able to be successful. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
And to be creative. And it's about the work for me. I like the work. I like to do things. I like to create things. I like to...
Well, it's got to be hard to remain that grounded when sometimes some parts of your life have been in the stratosphere as far as attention and success.
It's not hard to be grounded when you have people around you like my son. He would definitely keep me grounded. I think ultimately I never bought, you know, the dream. I never bought into, I'm just so incredibly cool because I'm so incredibly famous. And
I guess you don't have to because everyone else thinks that of you.
Well, if a lot of people think you're cool and think you're handsome or think you're sexy, it's great. Don't get me wrong. I think it's great. I wish everybody felt that way about me, but they don't. So you just look at it and say, you know, look, there are a lot of things I don't do well. And there are a lot of things I have tried to accomplish, and I've accomplished a lot of them. But there are a lot of things I haven't accomplished that I would have loved to have accomplished. I'd still love to go back and create a Broadway show. I'd still love to go back and write and produce a movie. I'd still like to do that. I don't know that I have the time, energy, and I don't have the idea, but I'd like the idea of doing it. You know what I mean?
I do.
Like, if I could only come up with a great idea. I came up with a great idea for a show, and from it has spawned another 40 shows. I created a television series that was not successful, that should have been successful, and I should have starred in it. But I was at that point committed to doing EFX for 2 years, and I couldn't do two jobs. So I just became the executive producer and creative a show called Ask Harriet, which they ran 10 episodes on Fox, and that was it. It was over. And
they didn't ask Harriet no more.
Yeah, it was a great idea, though, and I've been frustrated about stuff like that, you know, that things just, they should have worked and didn't. And you think, why didn't that work? Well, I know why it didn't work, because the actor they chose is not the right guy. The network liked him, and he's a very good actor, but he could not play both characters. And you'd have to know the show anyway.
So I guess what it comes down to is basically you just have to, your want for more. You're not never being quite satisfied is what keeps you grounded and what keeps you going.
Yeah. Well, it keeps, I like the work. And I think that ultimately, if you like the work and you like the fact that people acknowledge it, like yourself, mm-hmm. like you have tonight,
right.
people that acknowledge you for what you do, I get it back tenfold, you know. The impact that I've had on people is a wonderful thing to know. When people are open and honest enough and can be real enough to say, man, I got to tell you, you brought me so much joy and happiness. That alone makes me go, thank you for being able to do what I do, you know.
Well, David Cassidy, thank you.
Well, my pleasure.
For doing what you've done and what you still continue to do.
Well, thank you. It's been great being here tonight.
And we have had an absolute, if I might use a technical term, hootenanny on this Spirit of 76 weekend.
Yeah.
So, from Kimba and all the other girls who are still probably all giddy from tonight, thank you.
There were lots and lots of yucks, and I want to thank you all. And it's great to be here in my hometown and be a part of this with you and to be a part of the Spirit of 76.